Joshua chapter number 4. The book of Joshua chapter number 4. Boy, what a wonderful book, this book of Joshua. They've just got across their Jordan. They went over it. And the only way we're ever going to get over some things, God never said to go through it, but He wanted us to get over it. And I'm going to tell you some things that will keep you from enjoying Canaan land. If you just can't get over some things that's happened to you, you'll never enjoy the promised land. But I'm glad Jesus can get us over anything that comes in this walk of life. But now in Joshua 4, we talked this morning about these stones that piled up on the other side of Jordan. Simply, we want you to make a monument there or a memorial. And when people see them and your children ask, said you be sure to have a story to tell. I'm glad I've got a story to tell tonight of where I crossed over by my heavenly Joshua. Moses has died and the law could only take us so far. But aren't you glad that God spake to Joshua and he came, died on an old rugged cross, and took us over into the promised land. But now tonight I want to look at two verses found in Joshua 4. We didn't get to deal with these this morning. The Bible said, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. I believe my Bible. I believe you could probably wait out there and find them someplace. And isn't it amazing what we can't see, God knows all about tonight. Matter of fact, I don't know what's in your heart. You don't know what is in mine. But there's a God in heaven that knows about everything this evening. He said in verse number 10, for the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan till everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing in honor and reading the Word of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together this evening. I thank you, Lord, for the old story and song that we've heard. God, how our heart has been touched by your songs today. And by the Word of God, we're thankful you are a God that can touch our hearts tonight. Now I pray that you let preaching be easy just a few minutes. Pray now you'd help us. God, let us be a blessing to the people tonight. If there'd be one here lost, God, we pray that you'd draw them by your amazing grace and God, your mercy and compassion. Help us this evening and we'll be grateful to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, if you enjoyed the singing, say amen. If you're ready for some preaching, say amen. Well, I'm glad I got the right Bible tonight. I'm glad we're not trying to stumble through and trying to figure out what we're going to preach out of tonight. I'm glad we've got the Word of God in front of us. You'll notice in verse number 10, the Bible said that they did all that Moses commanded Joshua and the people hasted and passed over. I want to preach on this simple subject this evening on why the people hasted or why they hurried across. Or I guess if I had something to say unto us tonight, I'd say, come on over. Amen. Get involved. Get in this thing. Haste on over. In other words, they picked up their pace. I don't know if they were Baptists or not. I know a lot of Baptists still been asleep over in Jordan. But certainly, he said, I want y'all to pick it up a little bit. Matter of fact, turn around to somebody that you bow tonight and say, pick it up a little bit. Just pick it up a little bit. Amen. It'd do you good to haste on across and get over into the promised land. Now, I'll remind you of where they were. They were in Jordan. There, the priests, they were holding the ark, the presence of God. Those waters dried up from the top of the mountain to the bottom of the valley, and they crossed over on dry ground. The Bible said that the people hasted over, and that thing rung out in my heart. I'm glad we had some people interested in getting over into the promised land. There's a lot of people that they've left Egypt like Moses, but they've never enjoyed the land that's flowing with milk and honey. I don't know about you, but church is not enough for me, and just sitting on a pew is not enough for me.
I want to do all I can do for the glory of God. I want to get on a cross and enjoy the goodness and the presence of the Lord Jesus. I want to say, number one tonight, by way of outline, I believe that they wanted to get a cross in order to remove from Egypt. Thank God we ought to be hurrying out of Egypt. Boy, if it's ever been a time that God's people ought to realize there's nothing in this town that's not going to burn down. This old world's going to burn up one day. God tells us to get away from it. Come out from among them and be ye separate. I love the Bible teaches us to love one another and love a community. But the Bible never did teach us to get really involved in this world. He said simply in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, on they hasted because they wanted to remove from Egypt. He said 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And he says simply, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, tonight, I believe that they hurried across in order to remove from Egypt. Let me tell you, this world has nothing to offer but heartache and hard times. I'm nobody's crazy man tonight. Now, some things are wonderful to have, but it's wrong when things begin to have us. God never intended you to bow to this world. God wants you to bow to one, and that's His darling Son tonight. Oh my, I believe they hurried across to get away from Egypt. It'd be a blessing if some of us would pick up our pace and get out of this world and get across into something a lot better than Egypt. Egypt has bondage. There's where Pharaoh is. There's a lot of hurtful things. Taskmasters. I don't know about you, but I've had all of Egypt I want. Honey, there's nothing better than the land of Canaan tonight. I'm glad we can get across by heavenly Joshua. And I believe they picked up the pace in order to remove from Egypt. No reason in backpedaling. The Bible said that, hey, once you set your hand to plow, don't even look back and look to where you was. You may go back. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to go back. Nothing to go back to tonight. Man, you say, well, listen, this thing of being a Christian's difficult. Yeah, but aren't you glad you got somebody with you this evening? Now, I'm reminded of when Noah sailed in the ark, and boy, as bad as everything was on the inside. Could you imagine being amongst that multitude of animals and the stench and everything they had? Man, you say, well, preacher, it sure was bad in there. Yeah, but honey, I'm going to tell you, it was a lot better in there than what was going on the outside. You say, preacher, the church isn't doing too good tonight. Oh, the church is doing better than she's ever done. The church isn't going down. She's a going up. I'm glad I'm belong to a body that's not going down, that's going out one of these mornings. We have nothing to go back to. Egypt is a bad place. Come out from the world and be you separate. I want to say this tonight. We ought to look like a Christian and act like a Christian. But in our hearts, the most important thing, we ought to have the right kind of attitude and realize all of this is temporal, but heaven is eternal. And oh my, I believe they hurried across to remove from Egypt. Number two, not only do I believe that they hasted across to remove from Egypt, but I had this thought, and I love it. They had respect to others. Respect to others. What are you talking about? Well, I want to say simply that in Joshua 4 and 10, you'll notice there was something going on when some 1 million or 2 million people was getting across. I don't know how long it took them to cross. The Bible really don't tell us definitely. We just know that they made it across. And I believe they had respect to the leadership of that congregation. Do you say, well, why, preacher? Why would you say they had respect? Well, there were some men holding the presence of God. And what they was doing, they was holding the presence of God that others may get over. You better be glad that you've had some men of God in your life would hold the presence of God up while you could get over. They had to stay there till they all got across. Matter of fact, if some of y'all come on across, it'd rest you preacher a while tonight. Somebody say amen. Hey, if you'd hurry across, hey, I wish you'd come on, get out of where you are and enjoy the good things of God. This world has nothing to offer, but Jesus has everything tonight. Well, they had respect. Why, some of y'all would have still stayed there to Christmas. You wouldn't have cared how long they were standing a shoulder in that load. Say amen. Shake your little Baptist head up and down tonight. Boy, they had respect unto others. Well, to realize that God's been good to us and put leadership in our life. And we ought to be as easy and lighten their load as much as we can. Matter of fact, when your preacher preaches, y'all say amen. You say, well, I'm not emotional. We ought to ask your children. Because they'd tell on you, amen. You say, well, I'm just not emotional, preacher. Well, when you get mad, emotions turn loose. That little woman pulled out in front of you, your emotions got up. This morning I was running late for church, and I got down at the red light. It seemed like every slow person in Bowden decided to be at the red light at one time. I nearly crossed the double line, raised my window down, shook my fist, said, follow me on down to Liberty Baptist Church, amen. I'm telling you, we ought to be respectful to the people at the house of God tonight. You know, they were concerned about how long they was having to stay at their job. Matter of fact, the preacher could get along and preach on heavenly things if people would come out of the world and stand for what's right. Amen. They had respect to the people at the house of God. I loved my preacher. I still love my preacher. I love anybody that sing and uplift Christ, anybody that'll teach, anybody that'll preach, anybody that'll stand and testify unto the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, we ought to have great respect to others and do our part. Hasten on the cross and enjoy the good things that God has for you. Let me tell you, the devil has nothing for you worth going back to. Boy, God's got everything. I believe they hastened the cross to remove from Egypt. I believe they hastened the cross to respect of others. But I think maybe that they moved across also to redeem the time. God's children, they've been silent way too long. In Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 1, the Bible tells us about redeeming the time. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He goes in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, let no man deceive you with vain words. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, having no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And verse 15, see then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That word redeeming the time means to buy up. I don't know about y'all, but I served the other side of the road way too long. And boy, I believe they hastened across to redeem the time. I want to do all for God that I can do for Him in these last days. Church, what a great opportunity we have. We live in a very dark and cold and dangerous world. But there's never been a time like this time that a church has got a great opportunity to go for the glory of God. I'm glad there's still some places that has a steeple, has a sign out front, let you know who they are and what they belong to. I'm glad there's still some places that preach and sing the Word of God. And it's time that we ought to bow up sometime, make progress for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, this Muslim crowd, they're taking our country over. You know why? Nobody's hurrying over into Canaan land. We got complacent and happy. Let me tell you, it's about time God's young and say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm glad I'm on the winning side tonight, folks. Oh, redeeming the time, buying up some things. I believe they hastened across to remove from Egypt. Boy, I want to get as far from there as I can get. I want as much space between me and Egypt as I can get. I don't like Egypt. It brought me hard times and heartaches. But honey, there's nothing like the goodness of Canaan land. Oh, I believe they hastened to remove from Egypt to the respect of others to redeem the time. But I believe that they also hastened across to remodel Jericho. You see, they crossed right into Jericho. The next time I get to preach, I hope I get to preach on the walls that fell down from Jericho. Boy, isn't it a blessing if there's ever been a time that Jericho needs to be remodeled. It is tonight. If you don't think this world's crazy, honey, you ought to have been at the top of the river last night at 4:45 Georgia time. This place has gone crazy. Say we're in a recession. Didn't look like it last night. Listen, they was waiting for that door to open. I mean, all the way to where cars parked back in the woods. Me and Renee pulled in there and said, ain't worth that. We pulled into Popeye's, and I'm going to be honest with you. Don't buy fish at Popeye's. If you're hungry for fish, go on and wait out the crowd. Don't go to Popeye. They ain't in the fish business. They in the chicken business. I done found out when you go to some place, eat their specialty. Don't go to a hamburger shop and order liver. It won't do good for you. I said, Lord, they call this fish. Renee said, how is it? I said, the best thing about this Coca-Cola ain't had one all week. Somebody say amen right there. And you know it's bad when a Pepsi man enjoys a Coca-Cola, amen. Man, you talking about Thugville. Anniston's turning into Thugville. You're going to need a Gatling gun to go to Anniston. Somebody say amen. Remodel Jericho. Boy, it needs remodeling, don't it? People's gone absolutely crazy. Crazy. Jericho's a sight. I can't believe. I believe they hurried across to remodel Jericho. It wasn't going to be long. God's going to let them walls fall. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible tells us something tonight. Matthew chapter number 5, one of the greatest verses. I learned it in Sunday school, learned it in Bible school. What a great passage of Scripture. In Matthew chapter number 5, the Bible simply tells us this. He says, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick and giveth light to all that are in the house. Watch this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Young people, I believe they hastened across that they wanted to remodel Jericho. Mom and daddies, I believe they hastened across because they wanted to bring some remodeling down to Jericho. You take all the darkness in this community and you put it in this building and you turn on one of these bulbs on these chandeliers. That one little bulb will dispel all the darkness. You can put all the darkness you want in on top of that light and it's still going to give light. And boy, I'm going to tell you, Jericho needs light in it tonight. We don't need to walk around thinking we're better than anybody else. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be camping in Jericho. Aren't you glad Joshua came by where the law of Moses stopped you at? Joshua came by and picked you up, put you over in the promised land. And we ought to be hurriedly getting along about our business to remodel Jericho. Let me tell you something. God has something set for His children that only faith will provide for. Boy, I believe God's got great things for us in this dark hour. Just be a light. Just be salt. I believe they got in a hurry in order to remove from Egypt. I believe they got in a hurry in order to respect for others. I believe they got in a hurry to redeem the time and remodel Jericho. But I also believe, according to Numbers 13, they got in a hurry to receive a blessing. They sent spies ahead. There, Moses told them, Joshua and Caleb went in the city. 10 more men with them. They sent 12 spies. The Bible says that it was the first ripe time of the fruits. Brother Lee, I thought about y'all. Y'all got that big scuppernine vine. They went over in the land of Canaan. They cut down one cluster of grapes. They had to cut a stick to put it on. 2 men carried it back to show it unto Moses. They got back and said, boy, this is something. They said, this isn't Piggly Wiggly grapes. This isn't Kroger grapes. There's grapes can make a skull cap out of. Amen. I mean, big grapes. They said, let me tell you, we ain't never seen it. There's milk. There's a land flowing with milk and honey. Boy, Joshua and Caleb said, it is wonderful. And the other 10 said, you know what? Said, there's giants down there and there's walled cities and we can't take that place. God let them 10 die. Let Joshua and Caleb live to go in the promised land. Boy, aren't you glad that God has a blessing for you? And I'm going to tell you something. I believe with all my heart, they got in a hurry to receive a blessing. I don't know about y'all, but there's still milk and honey flowing in Canaan land. It's a wonderful time to be a Christian. Yeah, it's a hard time, but I can't find any time in our Bible where Christians wasn't persecuted. You take Judge Roy in Alabama. Look how he's been persecuted for standing what's right tonight. You go all the way back to our forefathers. They were persecuted for standing right. But I'm going to tell you what, there's wonderful blessings in the promised land. I thank the Lord for the blessings that you can't buy, money can't obtain, but blessings that nobody else can see or experience except you that are in Canaan land. I believe they went across to receive a blessing. I believe they went across to rejoice in Canaan. And let me tell you something, it's still right to shout in church. Matter of fact, I got more Bible to tell you it's right to shout in church than to be quiet. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's still right to throw your hands up in the sanctuary and praise our God. But I want to say lastly tonight, I believe they hasted across to remain active. The Bible said that bodily exercise profiteth little. But He said, I tell you what'll help you is godliness. Praying and reading your Bible. You say, preacher, why did you say that they hurried across to remain active? Well, they didn't want to die. They wanted to stay busy for the Lord Jesus. I'd ask y'all to come and sing us another song tonight. I just wanted to go over these thoughts in closing. And I'm going to tell you something. Canaan's land is still real this evening. Milk and honey still flowing. Aren't you glad that you can hurriedly get across and get busy? Matter of fact, some of you need to get out of Egypt and hurry and get on across into Canaan. There's nothing like Canaan's land. Boy, what blessing, what rejoicing we can have. Isn't it amazing, even in hard times, those that are saved can raise their hands and say, thank you, Lord. Isn't it amazing that down in this land of milk and honey, you can still rejoice? Somebody said, well, you can't enjoy God at church anymore. I know a few still trying to. Somebody said, well, you can't build a church by preaching. I know some still trying to preach a little. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, Canaan's land is just inside. Jordan may have you stop tonight, but Jesus can get you over it. Boy, when you get over there, you sure can enjoy some good things. Mom, Daddy, you got great potential with God tonight. Your children, God has blessed you so much. God's blessed our church so much. And I'm going to tell you what, I want to rejoice in Canaan every chance I get. So don't never say, preacher, be quiet and sit down. No, no. You ought to be saying, get them, preacher. Get them, preacher. Get them, singer. Sing, singer. Teach, teacher. We all just enjoy the good things of God. Let's open this altar tonight. Whatever you need, they're going to sing, close our service. Would you come tonight? You may be here and you've never been saved. Boy, it'd be a great night to come.